This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we are speaking with Deb Herdman, director and developer of Nine Eye Sleepyhead, a company that helps parents guide their children into better sleep using music and play therapy. I think this is great. And Deb, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric. Really enjoy telling you what I know to help parents get their toddlers to sleep faster.
And of course, we're certainly looking forward to hearing from you in all regards on that topic. So for starters, tell us, why does one's toddler wake up so much? Let's start there.
Well, Eric, this is a really common problem in the toddler age, and it can be quite a shock to parents that have finally got through the babyhood and finding their toddlers have finally learned how to sleep, and then everything goes pear-shaped again. For some parents, unfortunately, they never get to a good stage and everything is just bad right from the start. You know, our routine is just one of those things that's absolutely imperative in the toddler age group. Reason why is toddlers really need to know what's coming up. They need to have some sort of structure and order to the pre-bedtime phase. So what's really important about having a routine is that it gives your toddler the opportunity to have regular sleep hours. When you don't have a routine and they're maybe falling asleep at 8 o'clock one night and 10 o'clock the next, all of that over a period of time actually decreases the overall amount of good sleep they're getting, and that is not good for them socially, behaviourally and cognitively. Least of all, it's very hard on parents to get to enjoy their evenings and have some wind-down time before they go to bed. One of the things that also happens is when sleep is irregular, it's exactly the same as having jet lag. And if anyone's, you know, done travelling across overseas and knows the experience of jet lag, it really is so hard to deal with. So you can imagine what that's like for your little person.
Certainly a great place to lead things off here today. Now, tell us, you talked about routines. Are routines really that important?
Okay, so when you establish a routine, and some parents will ask me, well, what exactly is a routine? And a routine is doing the same things every night or before every sleep time, so that your child gets to know that, okay, it's dinner time or it's lunchtime and I get put into some sleep clothes, pajamas. Some parents will bath their toddlers before that point. Some parents will read them a story, sing them a song, play a game. It really depends on what happens at your household. But one of the things that I would like to stress here is many people put too many things into the routine. And what happens then is they actually cause all those lovely hormones to happen, which puts their toddler into the overstimulation phase, and then they just will not settle. And that's exactly the reason why a lot of routines fail, because they're just too long. One of the things too that, you know, what happens when you disrupt the rhythm is that it affects the way their circadian rhythm is actually designed to be. So we're all functioning on a 24-hour clock where we're awake in the day and we sleep at night. And when your child doesn't have a routine, they go into this sleep debt phase, which funnily enough is the same for everybody that's not getting enough sleep. And the thing is, you have three things that happen. You find it hard to fall asleep, you wake frequently, and you wake too early. And that's the dilemma of a lot of toddler families.
Well, I'm certainly a fan, whether I choose to or not. That's just the way I am, and I certainly appreciate your perspective on that. Do you think controlled crying is useful?
Well, you know, Eric, this is such a controversial question. We have parents on both sides that absolutely swear by it and other parents that will not have anything to do with it. Certainly, it's used a lot more in those early months, the first 6 to 10 months with your new baby. And you know, the problem there is it can cause your baby to overheat and vomit because you're leaving them to cry for certain amounts of time. And that doesn't always mean that it's actually going to help them sleep any better. I actually believe that that stress component is not conducive to good mental health for the baby or the mother or the father. And over the years, I've spoken to many, many mothers that have now got children that are, you know, some of them are even grown up adults. And they all say to me, we did crying it out. And I can't tell you how many mums well up with tears in their eyes as they explain to me how traumatic it was for them, and they never get over it. So I would say, no, I don't believe controlled crying is a useful tool at all. It is very traumatising to the child and the parent, and it really just causes so much anxiety that why would you want to do it that way when you can do it other ways that are so gentle? Also, with toddlers, you know, they're already anxious about going to sleep. So if you bring in controlled crying, and maybe I should explain controlled crying to the listeners, it's where you let your child cry for a certain amount of time. Some advocates will say 1 minute per age of the child. Others will say just let the child cry for as long as it takes until you can't take it anymore, go in, reset or walk out. Usually it involves not talking to the child, not really looking at them, not connecting with them, go in there, lay them back down and walk out. And, you know, if you did that kind of behaviour on an adult, it would be such a cruel thing to do. So why would you inflict that on your little toddler?
Certainly makes a lot of sense and a lot of great information shared so far today. We are with Deb Herdman, the director and developer of Nine-Eye Sleepyhead, a company that helps parents guide their children into better sleeping using music and play therapy. And Deb has joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Children's Health and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Deb, as we continue on, can you briefly show us or share with us how the three R's to sleep success was developed?
Yes, I'd love to talk to you about that, Eric. I guess I should really start with my story. I had my first two children in the 80s, and when I hit 40, I had empty nest syndrome and decided it was time to have another baby. The day that I told my husband that, he nearly ran off the road because he was, you know, not prepared for that one. But I had secondary infertility, actually, and it took 5 years to get this gorgeous new boy, and he was my problem sleeper. So in the course of those years, I decided that if I was going to have, or if I was lucky enough to have another baby, I would like to homeschool. And I decided to take myself off to learn music. Now, that all happened in his second year. The first year was horrendous with him. He was a catnapping baby that was in my arms basically all day, and I was up and down to him all night. He was very hard to settle, very sensitive to noise. And, you know, I tried lots of different things, all the current suggestions that, you know, you hear from nurses and pediatricians, and really nothing worked. And I really wanted to make the time with him calm and special. I didn't want to inflict any more stress on our already stressful household. So I went off to learn music, and in my second year of doing that, I composed this lullaby. By then, my little fella had then become the toddler from hell, and he was taking 2 to 3 hours to go to sleep, and I'd gone back to nursing and was working with neonates, working night shift, and, you know, the sleep deprivation that I was suffering was just horrendous. I needed to have a really good, clear mind for work, and I wanted to have special time with him during the day when I was awake, and instead, you know, like we all are when we're sleep deprived, we're irritable, we're grumpy, and we don't have the patience that we'd like to have. And our children really suffer from sleep deprivation too. So one of the things that I came to understand was that the music was very different to what had ever been put out there, and the arrangement was lyrics and instrumental, which came about because I really wanted to sing a lullaby to him, but I didn't like all the lullabies. You know, they were very old-fashioned, and I just didn't like them. So then I thought, well, I'll try instrumental, and I do love classical music and play classical music, but I really wanted to sing too, and I found that, you know, the beautiful classics, they you know, changing crescendos and changing music just meant that it wasn't really very settling for him. So what we discovered was incorporating this routine reconnection relaxation was absolutely gold. I developed a sleeping polar bear that was part of the routine where parents who often become lost in the routine phase, especially if their toddler is a very demanding one that decides to take control and completely turn the routine pear-shaped, parents could stay focused to the task of getting their child to be ready for bed. Sometimes that involves doing the dressing the bear. He's a very cute bear that you can dress into his PJs and he gives cuddles. So I advise parents to direct all their attention to the bear. If the toddler's having a tantrum, let them have their tantrum. And they'll soon come around because, you know, toddlers just want to be in on everything. And the part where reconnection comes in was because when music's actually played, you really do need to be there to support your toddler and let them to fill their emotional cup, basically. So you're giving them everything that they need to help them to be less stressed and calm and happy about going to sleep. And really, this is all about that cascade of hormones that come into play. You don't want cortisol and adrenaline that occur with anxiety, because that keeps your child from settling. You want the dopamine effect from music and everything just to be calm and relaxing. The third phase is the relaxation phase, which comes into the part of the instrumental component of the music. And because the music is like any good lullaby that has rhythm, repetition and rhyme, the repetition part of the same melody means that it has like a meditative effect on them. And, you know, I never really planned for that to be that way. And it was only after a couple of years that I thought, well, this is what's happening. And this is such a huge psychological impact between parent and child. And really the outcome is that amazing bonding that happens and sleep.
Certainly appreciate how you came up with the 3 hours to sleep success and how that was developed. That's quite creative on your part. Good stuff. Tell us also, why is the combination of music and play therapy so effective in helping children develop better sleep skills?
I think, Eric, that parents will often miss the point at going to sleep. They get into this zone of it's bedtime and we're all anxious, toddlers and babies as well, they're very cued to the emotions of the parents. So if they see that you're stressed, immediately they will become stressed. And you really have to provide yourself with a way of keeping everything calm. Once you go down that route of anxiety, it is very hard to come back from. The music has an amazing effect on the mind. It's mood enhancing, and really when our babies are born, we speak to them in a sing-song voice, which is technically called parentese. And if you can keep going with that kind of sing-song voice, some people say that that voice, that tone that we use with babies has been used for centuries, and it's really the start of communication with our babies. So it's not something that is new to them. It's something that helps them feel very relaxed. We really need to utilise the fact that music creates dopamine, which is a feel-good chemical that when we have that experience, we want to have it again. Much like, you know, we'd like to eat certain foods. It's a good experience. We want to have it again and again and again. And that's really what music does. Of course, you know, choosing the right music can be problematic, and I certainly would advise parents to not just go and choose anything. Try and find something that is proven and it's been out there and it's been in use for a long time and has science to back it up, which, of course, our lovely 99 Music does. So the part that the play therapy comes in is, again, key to helping your toddler learn to stay calm and make the whole experience of sleep a fun experience. I've had a lot of toddlers that absolutely adore the Sleepyhead Ted Bear because they do like to be hands-on with getting him into his pyjamas. And to parents, they can say, well, it's time to get into your pyjamas, let's get Ted into his pyjamas. And then, of course, if they wake up during the night, they can always have Ted there right beside them to comfort them and help them drift back into sleep.
Deb, I think it's awesome what you do on behalf of Nye Sleepyhead and what you offer. This is tremendous information, and I'm sure the audience is appreciative as well and glad to know that you're out there and can tap into your resources in all regards. As we conclude today, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share as we wrap things up here today?
Yes, Eric, I'd just love to point out to parents that in respect to helping their children go to sleep faster, one of the key elements is don't have your routine too long. You need to have it short and sweet, and that's really something that I say all the time. Keep your routine short and sweet.
I like that, and that's a great place to conclude here today. Deb, thanks so much for joining us, and I'm sure listeners want to know where they can get more information online on Nye Sleepyhead and any other links that are important. Where's the best place to tap into your resources online?
Online, Eric, it's nineighnigh.com.
And that is short and sweet, no pun intended there. Again, Deb, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. We've been speaking with Deb Herdman, director and developer of Nye Sleepyhead, a company that helps parents guide their children into better sleep using music and play therapy. And for further details, simply visit nineye.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, again, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.